This is the Truth Network. Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together, we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into kingdom pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
All right. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Kingdom Pursuits. My name is Danny Trogdon, and I'll be sitting in for Robbie today, and I'm very excited to be with you. We have an interesting show for you today. November is National Diabetes Awareness Month, with local events now throughout the month. Our guest today is Eric Durham. Eric is the Senior Development Manager for JDRF, which is Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. And we're going to be talking about type 1 diabetes, the effects of the disease on the body, and what we're trying to do about it, and some ways that we can help and you can help the cause. We also have with us today Stephen Still. He is a 4-star general with the with the Salvation Army. That's right, 4 stars. Is it 4?
Yeah. Okay, I'll go with that. That's good. Yeah.
Do you actually have a rank?
No. I don't deserve.
Oh gosh, then what are you doing on the show, man? I'm teasing. Stephen is an old friend of mine. He's been with the Salvation Army for better than 22 years, and he's a good heart and a good soul. And so we're going to be talking to him also today about the Salvation Army, some things that they're trying to do this year, and some history, and just some fascinating things today. Guys, welcome to the show.
Hey.
Thanks for having us.
All right. Yeah. Well, first things first, I've got to read some riddles. But I don't think these are riddles. These are puns, right? Okay, here we go. I'm gonna just jump right off. How long did Cain hate his brother?
As long as he was able?
That's exactly right.
Oh, I got one.
Who was the biggest financial wizard in the Bible? Noah. He was floating his stock while everyone else was in liquidation.
Nice. That's pretty good.
How about them apples? Okay. How does Moses make his coffee? He brews it.
Oh.
He brews. Yes.
Hey, what's with the crickets, man? Lee, you hurt a brother's feelings. Oh, by the way, if you need an ark, I know a guy.
I know a guy.
Oh, now all the crickets are booing me.
Crickets and booze.
Okay. All right. Well, look, here's the actual riddle itself. Where was Solomon's temple located? Okay. Where was Solomon's temple located? Now, remember, these are puns. So that's the question. Where was Solomon's temple located? And Keith, will you tell them what they could win with the right answer?
Well, they can win one of our wonderful books from the Kingdom Pursuits Prize Vault.
All right. That's awesome. I actually saw a book in there about health, which I think is an appropriate book for today's topics. So let's just dive right in. Eric, I want to talk with you about childhood or early onset diabetes, right? Is that another way to refer to it?
Yeah, we at JDRF wanted to really highlight when we rebranded to JDRF is type 1 diabetes can happen at any age now. And that's something we're becoming more and more aware of is it can happen if you're, 6 months old, 60 years old. There's just something that clicks that says, if you're the immune system, that pancreas, I'm going to go take it out. Mm. And that autoimmune attack can happen at any point. So type 1 diabetes, that's our primary focus at JDRF to cure, treat, and prevent. Yeah.
Well, can you tell our listeners the difference between type 1 diabetes and type 2 diabetes? Because a lot of folks just think Diabetes is diabetes. Oh, by the way, I got a question. Is it diabetes or diabetes?
Diabetes. Yeah. Well, we don't want diabetes to beat us, right?
No, that, I like it.
We want to diabete this, right?
Diabete this. That's
let's,
right.
Let's turn type 1 to type none. Let's find a cure for this thing. So that's our goal. The difference really between type 1 and type 2, and that's a great question, Danny, is type 1 diabetes is the autoimmune attack on the pancreas, and that renders the body unable to produce insulin. Mm. So folks are taking shots to manage their blood sugar levels, wearing pumps, wearing devices, continuous glucose monitors to keep themselves healthy every day. And the type 2 diabetes, on the other hand, is more related to diet and exercise. There's no prevention currently for type 1. There's things you can do if you have type 2 to kind of reverse those effects and prevent it from the beginning as well.
I actually have type 2 mm-hmm. diabetes. And, when I actually hadn't really researched type 1 diabetes before I spoke with you the first time, I thought, I want to find out about it. Mm-hmm. And once I realized that type 1 is a disease that just comes on, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter. It's not based on your lifestyle. It's not based on race or gender or anything else. Isn't that right?
That's correct. Yep.
Yeah. And so I was almost embarrassed to admit that I have type 2 diabetes, which is preventable and curable in the sense that through diet and exercise, I could no longer technically be a diabetic. Mm-hmm. I could come off insulin. I'm insulin dependent and also take medication. And I could come off all those things because I did it about 6 months after I was diagnosed, got out of the hospital with diabetes. I had the fear of the Lord in me and decided I'm going to eat like they tell me to eat. And I did away with carbs and sugars and my sugars got down, my glucose levels got down to where they're supposed to be. And for all intents and purposes, I no longer had diabetes because I came off of insulin and I came off my medication. But then, like a knucklehead, I felt bulletproof and I started throwing carbs down my neck and sugars. I think I was injecting sugars into my bloodstream. Not really, just kidding about that. But
direct IV.
I just confessed another condition I have. No, but so anyway, I'm kind of ashamed now, and I have new motivation. Eric, what are some of the struggles that childhood diabetes presents to children and adults?
Sure, it's a disease that it really impacts the whole family, especially when you talk about your son or daughter having type 1. It really does add a significant amount of decisions to your day, a lot of stress to your day. It's very much a tightrope walk when you're talking about managing blood sugars. It's too much to the left and you start leaning that way, too much to the right and you'll lean the other way. So same thing with the high and low blood sugar levels. They're just always moving. There's so many different ways for your blood sugar to be impacted, whether it's high or low. And so that's always something that parents are thinking about. That's always something that folks with type 1 are thinking about. And during this National Diabetes Awareness Month, we've seen tons of pictures and stories and how this disease impacts people. And I saw one photo the other day that really stuck out, and that's folks with type 1 have to make an average of 180 more decisions per day than the average person without type 1. So
That's awful.
No vacation.
No, there's not.
It's every day,
right?
24/7.
Because their pancreas has called in sick.
That's right.
And is staying home. Mm-hmm. And so it's not working. So they have to, the thing about type 2 diabetes is the pancreas does function at some level. It just doesn't, how did you say?
Yeah, sometimes the body just doesn't know how to use it properly.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk to Eric some more about this. I've got some other questions. I'm fascinated by this. And we're also going to talk about the JDRF One Walk in Winston. So stick around. We'll be right back. All right. We're back. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits. My name's Danny Trogdon. I'm sitting in for Robbie today. And we're talking with Eric Durham about type 1 diabetes. He is the senior development manager at JDRF, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. And we're just talking about some things. Eric, I wanted to ask you, have there been any breakthroughs? Oh, by the way, listen, you guys can call in too. And if you have questions for Eric about type 1 or type 1 diabetes, feel free to call in. You can call in and speak with
Stephen,
my very good friend.
The four-star general.
I forgot his name. I've known Stephen for 12 years, and I just had a brain fart.
Smelled it over here.
Smelled, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Sorry about that, Stephen.
It's okay. I can be forgettable.
can you forgive? I know you can. But we're here with Stephen still, too. I think he's a four-star general with the Salvation Army. So to get back to my question, Eric, have there been any breakthroughs in treatments for type 1 diabetes?
Absolutely. Danny, that's a great question. And that's something that when we look at funding research at JDRF, we want to accomplish three, maybe four really big things. One is, how do you cure type 1? How do you reverse the impact that it's had on somebody, whether it's been somebody with type 1 for one day or 1,000, 10,000 days? How do you cure it? How do you walk away from it forever? The second area is prevention. How do you stop it from ever happening in the first place? It's tough to put out a fire when it's already blazing, right? So how do you stop it when it's just a spark? The last piece is really the treatments. So how do you take away a little bit of the burden, a little bit of the stress, and keep people healthy until we found an answer to the prevention and the cure research areas? And then complications is another really important thing that you have to address when you're looking at folks with type 1, because there's lots of complications that arise because of blood sugar levels being high and low and being out of range for a long period of time. So really, from a treatment standpoint, a lot of the JDRF-funded research has been in the area of day-to-day management. How do you, you know, monitor your blood sugar level on a continuous basis? How do you see if Susie or Johnny has high or low blood sugar levels when they're out at a sleepover? So when you look at the continuous glucose monitor, it not only tells you what your blood sugar is right then and there, it also shows, where's it going? Is it going high? Is it going low? So it gets to know you as a person, and you can kind of manage and show where your blood sugar levels are going and make the right decision to intervene if you need to. You look at the pump, that's a JDRF funded and JDRF research. That's when insulin is delivered through a device, and you can dial in the amount of insulin that your body needs, and it goes, you know, you can go about your day after you put in the right numbers. Then we married those two together, the CGM and the pump, and it was called the artificial pancreas. And that was one of those where the system gets to know your body and delivers insulin when your body needs it. So you take away some of that thought process. So from a treatment side, those are really the big wins that we've seen. And just in the last 6 months or so, we did see on a prevention end that we were able to slow the progression of type 1 diabetes for over 2 years.
Oh, wow.
So how do you take it from 2 to 5, 5 to 10? That's what is so exciting about just the light at the end of the tunnel, that maybe there's a way that we can stop this from ever happening to somebody.
Awesome.
So really, really cool. And definitely encourage folks to check out jdrf.org/research. I think it's a /, right, if it's leaning forward.
Yes,
is that right?
Right.
So definitely check that out. There's over 70 clinical trials happening right now, and it's they're all addressing that complications, prevention, treatment, and cure. So,
do folks with type 1 diabetes have to use the same, or do they use the same type or same medications that type 2 uses?
There's currently no medication that helps with type 1.
Really?
So it's very much insulin.
It's just insulin.
Currently. Yep. That's the best way to keep your blood sugar levels in check when you're insulin dependent as a type 1. So
somebody told me once, was trying to help me because I've struggled trying to keep my glucose numbers in check because I go through cycles. I'll do really well, and then I'll just get tired of eating healthy, and I'll say, well, a cheeseburger won't hurt today, and this half a cake won't hurt tomorrow, and then the day after that, I'm laying down because my head hurts and my pancreas is sore, and so, you know, it takes a terrible toll. He told me, this friend of mine told me that when you let your sugars roller coaster up and down and up and down, he said it's like imagine being in a car, okay, and you're sitting there and the car's idling, running fine, and then all of a sudden you hit the gas pedal and rev that thing up as high as you can rev it, as long and just rev it and then let it come back down, and then sit there another 10 minutes and rev that thing up again. He said that will tear your engine up. He said the same thing goes on when you allow your blood sugars to fluctuate to the extent, because I was having 300s and higher, I'm embarrassed to admit. But so that's one of the things about diabetes is that it just takes such a toll on your organs, your kidneys, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. You guys, the JDRF is fixing to. That's a southern phrase. Fixing to.
Down by the creek.
Down by the creek. Yeah.
Where the watermelons
That made
grow.
My whole day, by the way. I just want you to know that. I don't care what happens the rest of the day. I heard somebody actually use the word creek in a sentence.
Wasn't talking about the neck.
And he wasn't telling a joke. So, will you tell our listeners about the JDRF1 walk
sure.
in Winston?
Yeah, absolutely. And really, when you look at type 1 diabetes, there's something we can all do, and that's something coming up next weekend, and that's our one walk that we call it. It's a walk that we get together over at Wake Forest football field, and everybody here in the community just comes together for a single focus and a single mission, and that's to put an end to this, and it's to raise awareness, raise the profile of a disease, and put some attention towards finding a cure for this. So that's what we're doing next weekend, next Saturday morning. We've got a 9 o'clock registration, 10 o'clock walk, tons of live music, kids activities. We're really excited about the event, and it's one way that folks here in Winston can make an impact, make a difference, and come join us next weekend.
So there's all kind of, let's see. How far is each walk?
Sure. Each walk's a little bit different. The one here in Winston is a little over 2 miles, so we'll start there and finish there at the football field, and we'll actually take a lap around Wake Forest football field as well. So we call that the Mile of Hope, so that's a really impactful moment.
So folks that participate in these walks, don't they take what is it like donation or I can't think of the thing, you know, where you go, you know, my son is going to walk.
Pledge.
Yeah. A pledge, you know, for the walk.
Yeah, that, absolutely.
How that works.
Yeah. So if you guys want to join us next weekend, you can go register for the walk. You can ask for support, whether that's, you call it a pledge, sponsorship, donation, whatever you want to call it. Right. But you can just check out walk.jdrf.org, and then there's that / again, Winston-Salem. So no dash. They wouldn't let us put a dash in there. So jdrf.org, walk.jdrf.org/Winston-Salem. Any donation is more than appreciated and accepted, and we're going to put that to the right right place for
sure. Can folks make a donation on that same website that aren't going through the walk or doesn't know somebody that's going
Absolutely.
In the walk?
Yeah, and you might know somebody that's already registered to walk. You can search for their first and last name and support them right there if you wanted to make an impact to somebody you know that's already registered that's affected by type 1.
And how can people donate? Cash and different ways like
Correct.
That?
Correct. Yep. So you can bring them to the walk with you guys next weekend. Cash, check is accepted. Credit card donations online. We want to make it easy and whatever's most convenient for folks. That's where we want to step in.
That's awesome. What should I bring the day of the walk?
Day of the walk, bring your smiles and bring your energy and your enthusiasm. Pets are more than welcome. Just keep them on a leash and we'll have some poop bags there, right? And a little extra water.
Is that for the dogs? Hopefully the dogs. Okay. All right, just wanted to make sure.
So feel free to bring your family. The more folks we have out there, the more folks that stand with us, the less type 1 gets to push back, right? So the more we have in our on our end, the more we can make a difference on this.
Is there registration forms that they need to bring and all that stuff?
So you can pre-register online on that same walk.jdrf.org/Winston, or you can just hop on Google and put in Winston-Salem JDRF walk, or you can register that morning starting at 9 a.m. just on the site itself at the walk site.
And so when is the walk again?
Next Saturday. November 16th. And we've got a 9 o'clock registration, lots of stuff happening from 9 to 10, and we'll kick the walk off right at 10 o'clock.
At 10 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Okay. And what if there's inclement weather?
So type 1 diabetes doesn't take a break,
right?
And we don't either. It's walk, rain, or shine.
Walk, rain, or shine. That's awesome. Y'all should really participate if you enjoy walking. If you don't, go to that website. We're going to mention it again. And also, call in with your calls at 866-348-7884. That's 866-348-7884. We'll be right back after these short messages. Stick around.
Robbie Dillmore here, and the Truth Network podcasts have helped make MyPillow the company it is today. And now Mike Lindell, who, by the way, I've met and is a great guy, the inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back to our listeners. For the first time, you can get deep discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the new radio listener specials. Who never thought that my dream job would be selling MyPillows? Maybe you're getting tired of these sleeping jokes, but you can get deep discounts on MyPillows, mattress toppers, bed sheets, and so much more. For example, the body pillow is regularly $89.99, but with a promo code GETTRUTH, it's only $29.99. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the body pillow, for only $29.99. Enter promo code GETTRUTH or call 800-942-9613 for these great radio specials.
Kingdom Pursuits. My name's Danny Trockner, and I'm sitting in for Robbie today. We're sitting here with Eric Durham and Stephen Still, whose name I remembered. Eric is with the JDRF, which is the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. Stephen Still is a 4-star general with the Salvation Army. I wanted to ask you another question about this walk. Are the donations tax deductible?
They are 100%. Yep.
Okay. Awesome. And I also read that there is a way that you can get a T-shirt. Will you tell them how they can get a T-shirt?
So, yeah, for each participant, we actually make it fun and kind of incentivize folks to fundraise. If you raise $100, you get one of those JDRF participant T-shirts, and they're really cool this year. And so that's one of those ways that we can – we don't charge a registration fee. We do incentivize people to fundraise and encourage folks to do the best they can.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So the T-shirts are short sleeve, right?
They're short sleeve. Yeah,
comfortable.
Yeah,
I want a sweatshirt. how much do I have to donate to get a sweatshirt?
Something long sleeve.
Yeah. Hey, Eric, What, there's some other events here that I was looking at on November 10th, the JDRF Cycle Give Ride.
You got it. Yep. So that's something that Cycle Bar Downtown is hosting for us. And Wake Forest Baptist is actually, they're one of our really good partners here in Winston, the Diabetes Endocrinology Center. So they're actually taking over Cycle Bar, and they're having as many folks as they can in there to register and cycle for a little bit. And all the proceeds go to JDRF, which is wonderful. So,
well, that's awesome. And there's also an event on November 12th. Let's see, the November 10th event, the cycle ride is at 3 p.m.
Tomorrow, 3 p.m.
Tomorrow at 3. And on November 12th, which is Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Yep. From 5 to 8 is the Wendy's Spirit Night for JDRF. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so all of the Wendy's here in the Triad, they're opening up their doors and giving us a cut of their proceeds that evening. So it's a really, really generous thing that they're offering for us. So yeah, I'm going to be having a junior bacon cheeseburger myself.
Yeah, I know, right? That's what got me in trouble to begin with, so be careful with that.
Notice he said junior.
That's right.
Junior, right. But if you eat three of them, I don't know how much junior is that.
It kind of defeats the purpose.
Yeah.
There's another event on November 16th at 9 a.m. through noon. It's Winston-Salem One Walk.
You got it.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's the big event that everybody's getting together for next Saturday. Yep.
Okay. All right.
So lots of stuff happening in November. We really see a lot of activity happening during National Diabetes Awareness Month. And so that's the month of November. And really do appreciate you guys giving us the platform to talk about this.
Yeah. The November 1st was Diabetes Day, Type 1 Diabetes Day. And November 14th is World Diabetes Day.
You got it.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's awesome. You know, Eric, I sure appreciate you coming on and sharing all that information. It's such good information. Will you give out the websites that they can register for the One Walk and donate?
Absolutely.
And check out any information they'd like to know.
Sure,
about.
Yeah. So you can hop on Google, like I mentioned. You can type in JDRF Winston-Salem Walk. You can go straight to walk.jdrf.org/Winston-Salem without the dash this time. And definitely, again, really encourage if you guys have questions about research that's happening here at JDRF, check out jdrf.org/research. There's a lot of really, really exciting things happening. And it's due to the folks that make donations, support the folks that are impacted by this. That's how we're doing this. It's pretty inspiring.
Yeah, it is. And you know, I'm really impressed by the you know, the enthusiasm that folks put in to this, and that you know, such an awesome cause, and folks. It's really worth participating, or you know, if you're looking for a way to donate, these donations are tax deductible. If you're looking for a way to donate and contribute and to help with the research of type 1 diabetes, and let's try to get this thing cured, this is a great foundation to donate to. Because your money is used well to help children and adults.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
With type 1. I wasn't aware that it was also an adult issue as well.
I got a quick question.
Yeah.
If I wanted to partner with you guys, what would I do to kind of organize a walk or something? That is there a website that you go to as a partner to touch base with you and maybe organize a joint effort?
Absolutely.
To do another fundraiser?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's a great question. And really, when you look at the walk event, there's teams of two, there's teams of 200. And so anywhere in between, it doesn't matter who you are. Anybody can come join us for this. We have events that are all throughout the year, whether it's a walk, a gala, a ride, endurance events, 5Ks, runs, anything we can do to meet folks where they're at and where they want to plug in, that's our mission. That's what we want to do here.
I saw a thing too that you can even organize a community walk.
Correct.
Just on your own. If you feel led to be a part of this, you can do that.
Absolutely.
Right?
You got it.
How would they do that?
Feel free. We can talk about it a little more. We're here in Greensboro, but we serve the Piedmont Triad, and happy to field some of those questions and see how folks want to chip in and support and make an impact. And feel free, our office line, you can just Google JDRF Piedmont Triad office or call us at 336-373-1768. And we're more than happy to discuss some of the different ways that folks are interested to plug in.
How did you get involved in JDRF?
I got involved primarily through the walk program. I'd had several folks that through the years, actually my first babysitter had type 1 diabetes. So I've known a lot of folks through the years that have really been a big part in my life. And that's when I turned my focus a little bit to type 1 diabetes, how we can make an impact. And so that's been kind of my role here for the last 5 years or so is how can we partner folks with where they want to plug in? How can we make an impact? What's the best way to fundraise? And how can we find a cure for this?
Well, that's awesome. I just want to encourage folks to participate in this, and it's well worth it, and it's a great cause. I'd love to see a cure for type 1 diabetes in my lifetime. I think it's possible. You know, the technology that we have, I mean, we got phones that we can sit on the windowsill and film us doing a radio show. We should be able to.
And the lens doesn't crack.
And the lens don't crack.
Hadn't broken it yet.
Well, Stephen, your back is to it. So
There is a saving grace.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. Well, look, Eric, I sure appreciate you being on the show today and giving us all this information. It's a great time. It's if you get a chance, participate in this walk and they need your money. All right. So anyway, I want to also encourage you again to call in at 866-348-7884. And I'm going to change gears now and go over here and talk to Stephen and about the Salvation Army. I think we're probably getting close to a break, but when we do come back, I'd love for you to tell a little bit about the origins of the Salvation Army and give us some you share with me some really fascinating information that I'd like for you to share with our listeners. So when we come back, we're going to be talking with Stephen Still about Salvation Army. You guys stick around. Feel free to call in and answer the trivia question at 866-348-7884, or if you even have a question. Stick around, everybody. We'll be right back. Kingdom Pursuits. My name's Danny Trogdon, and I'm sitting in for Robbie today. So happy to be with you. We're here with Eric Durham from the JDRF and also Stephen Still with Salvation Army. And we're going to talk to Stephen now about some fascinating things. Stephen has been a friend of mine for 12, 13 years, something like that. And he's been with Salvation Army the whole time I've known him. He's got a servant's heart. I love him to death. And
even though you can't remember my name.
Even though I don't know his name. But he has such grace, man. He's like, it's Stephen. It's okay, brother. He patted me on the shoulder. It's okay. It happens to the best of us. Hey, Stephen, share with our listeners some history. Because when I knew that you were coming on, I did some research because I like to know things. And so I found out some really fascinating things about Salvation Army, where they got started. Will you tell a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'd be glad to. But if you wouldn't mind, can I, before we start, you know, I just want to give a shout out to our men and women that are serving in the military.
yeah.
And they're the ones that are standing on the wall for us, mm-hmm. that you and I and Eric, we can have this conversation freely.
Yeah. This is Veterans Day weekend.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Monday's
absolutely.
Veterans Day.
And also I'd like to hear locally throw a shout out to my brothers and sisters in the Randolph County Honor Guard, who we tried to provide those honors to those who have passed on and escort them home.
Yeah. Amen, brother. Amen.
Thank you for that.
Yes, sir.
Well, Salvation Army was started in the 1800s in East End, England, by William and Catherine Booth. He was a Methodist circuit preacher, and he also grew up, don't know if you know, but he was an apprentice in a pawn shop in a very weak or very poor area in England. So he got to see the worst of the worst and people when they were, you know, at rock bottom. So he developed a love for God and a love for the message of the gospel and for his fellow man very early. When he met his wife, he was a circuit preacher for the church, and they decided in 1865 to start the Salvation Army. Mm-hmm. And it was born out of, it first was called the Christian Mission. Hmm. And then they changed the name to the Salvation Army. And in 1880, it had grown and it expanded itself to Australia, Africa, and the United States. So Salvation Army's been here on the continent of the United States since 1880.
Wow, 1880.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, right?
Yeah, man, that's incredible. We're so when they came here, how did it start? I mean, you were telling me about when the first kettles, which weren't kettles, they were something else. They may have been real kettles.
You know, those big black things.
Yeah.
Anyway, when they first got here, they arrived in New York, and they started right away hosting church services, you know, reaching and trying to save souls that were lost. As far as the kettles came out as a result of a young officer in San Francisco on the waterways. He decided that they wanted to try and raise money to provide a Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah.
For those in San Francisco. And he remembered his days back in England where they had what they call the Simpsons pot. And the Simpsons pot was set up at the wharf there, and people would just throw food or donations in that pot, and they would serve the sailors and the homeless there in that community. So he adopted it over in San Francisco to try to raise enough money to do a Thanksgiving dinner for the masses.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Well, that's awesome. Yeah. My producer just told me I'm running low on time. So
sure.
Tell me about the toy drive and what else we got. What else you got going on through the holidays?
Oh, yeah, Christmas? Sure. Well, the Salvation Army, as usual, are feet on the ground, frontline servants. We have kettles in Greensboro at 34 locations trying to raise money to meet the needs for over 2,100 children, 800 families, 500 plus seniors.
Yeah.
That's just in our area or our command. And in the triad proper, we are all searching for and in need of men and women to volunteer to ring that bell. You know, if the bell ain't ringing, the children ain't singing, brother. You know, we really need that
bell.
And, you know, in order to keep that bell ringing, we have to hire staff.
Right.
You know, we have to hire staff. But the more volunteers that we have, of course, the less staff we have to hire to do that.
Yeah.
Our ultimate goal is to meet people's needs where they're at without discrimination.
Yeah.
So,
you were telling me, too, that at the kettles, that if they don't have cash, they can do the swipe.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah. You know, we're catching up with the times, right? Now, when you walk by a kettle, it doesn't have to be cash and coin. You can scan. Feel free to go to the SalvationArmyUSA.org, that website, and catch up on all the wonderful things that are happening this Christmas season. And get in touch with your local Salvation Army Corps and see where you can help, right? We could really use your help. We need soldiers, right. All the soldiers we can get.
That's right. That's right. Hey, look, guys, I sure appreciate it. You guys have made this so easy and awesome for me. Stephen, thank you for coming and blessing me. Eric, thank you for coming here and blessing me as well. I've enjoyed the time with you. Folks, please participate and contribute and give your money. This has been Kingdom Pursuits. I'm Danny Trogdon. I thank you for your time and listening and letting us come into your living room, your car, whatever. We love you. Peace out.